Hello and welcome to our series of podcasts for Equine Health Week 2025 in partnership with Agria, covering all the key life stages that our horses will go through. As you may know, if you listen to this morning's episode, we are treating you to a double whammy of podcasts today, focused on young horses and how we can give them the best start to their ridden career. Earlier today, Russell McKechnie-Guire gave us an insight into the role that biomechanics play when planning your early training. Now, Nicola Wilson is going to share her experiences as both a rider and a coach in producing young horses for future success. Nicola really needs no introduction, but if you've been living under a rock, she is a well-known figure in the field of eventing, first as a medal-winning stalwart of British Championship teams, and now as an in-demand coach and mentor. She has produced a number of young horses to success through the levels, including JL Dublin, who joined Nicola as a four-year-old and took her to team and individual gold at the FEI Eventing European Championship in 2021. Welcome, Nicola.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
We are very grateful to have you here. So first of all, in your experiences, how do you like to introduce ridden work to a young horse in a way that's going to kind of set them up as a happy athlete who's going to enjoy their ridden career?
Well, sometimes horses, as you've just said, like JL Dublin, who came to the yard as a four-year-old, you know, he's at the very beginning of his career and you don't really know how much of his pre-education to that level that he's done. You know, yes, he was ridden, he'd popped over a couple of fences, but you don't really know their history. You don't know, you know, if you go right the way back to when they were weaned, you know, their education from that forward has a massive effect on their confidence, on their ability to learn and cope with different situations. So I think whether you've taken a horse on as a four-year-old or you are starting with them from the very beginning with their groundwork, I think all of that, having a little step back, doing some groundwork with them, doing some long reining, getting them exposed to different situations, you really do get a lovely feel of their education, and it's a really nice opportunity to build up that sort of team and that trust and that confidence between the person working with them on the ground, the person sitting on their back and training them, and the horse as well. And that really does get them ready for their ridden and their training education. And I think also, you know, taking the horses out alone, but also taking them in company in sort of more vulnerable areas, you know, like round big fields or down roads, you know, have them in company so that they can, from an experienced, confident horse, so that they can feed off that sort of relaxation and that confidence and self-belief. And I think that's really important. So when that first lorry or rattly trailer was to come past, yes, you've done your groundwork with them, and yes, they've got that trust in you, and you've done their first bit of ridden work. But when that scary situation, it's really nice for that young horse that they then have an older, experienced horse who just says, oh, it's, you know, gives off the vibes of being absolutely fine, this is not a stressful situation. And that's really building that trust and confidence in the young horse going forward. And I think repetition is so important. Horses generally learn, you know, by the time you've repeated something three or four times and you've praised good behaviour, you know, that's how the horses learn. And at the end of the day, trust and confidence is everything.
I suppose in a way it's all about that, you know, we've talked about you're training them skills, but it's that positive mental mindset as well. It's putting them in the right headspace to do the learning.
It really is. And the same with riders as well, you know. It's important that we treat horses as horses, and I'm not trying to put on our human sort of characteristics onto them. They do learn very differently, repetition and praise and being a fair coach of them really is so important that they then have the correct stimuli to, you know, to progress and to be confident going forward.
And I guess as well, it's going to help if you can bring in a coach or someone who's experienced in that process, if you've maybe not done it before or you're a bit new to it, who can help you, guide you through this process.
Definitely, you know, not everybody has all the answers, you know, and we're all learning all the way through. But I think it's important to give the horse confidence, either whether you're working them from the ground or whether you're riding them, giving them confidence and clear instruction and being a really, really fair in what you're asking the horses to do, so that then they get the trust and the right response to what you're asking. And you know, eyes on the ground are so important, being able to give you that extra feedback, you know, what the horse is facial expression is, you know, how they are through their body, you know, are they clamping their tail down, which might well show a little bit of anxiety or nervousness, you know, are their nostrils flaring a little bit, or are their ears nice and relaxed and looking really confident. And I think to have that little bit of support from the ground to give you that little bit of confidence as a rider is really important.
And how can you kind of make what you're teaching them fun, I guess? Like, I mean, you talked there about some of the variety in the work they're doing. How can you make it sort of fun and enjoyable for them and not just feel like they're going to school?
I think, like all of us, you know, fun and pleasure comes from an understanding and you knowing that you're doing it right. You know, as I've alluded to before, being a good coach of your horse, keeping the work varied. If you're in the school, you know, include a little bit of pole work, include a little bit of dressage, and some jumping, and just make it varied. Also, you know, have plenty of time to go out hacking, be it on the roads or, you know, or around fields. And at the end of the day, particularly the event horse, you know, they are all terrain vehicles and they need to get used to sort of all going up and down hills in different ground conditions, getting their confidence with that, as does the rider, you know, dealing with that on top of the horses. So I think that's, you know, keeping it very varied and also recognizing when the horses are ready to progress in their training as well, you know, starting to challenge them just that little bit more. But be ready in case they don't quite understand or they need a little bit of a break, to give them that little bit of mental space so that you can either back off or give the young horse a little bit of time out. Often when we've started the horses from three-year-olds here and done their groundwork, you know, we, as a three-year-old, we would sort of more or less just do that, spend a lot of time on the ground, getting them lunging both ways, and then long reining them and taking them out and about and maybe going through some water and over a ditch and on nice little safe adventures. All of this it has to be progressive, and the confidence that you have with the horse is, you know, you have to make those decisions as you go along. But of course, when you're long reining, it's really good to have somebody there just as a support with you as well. But it's getting that timing right and really seeing when the horse is maybe done enough mentally or physically, and maybe it's time then for them to have a break. And I think that I would call it think time, or that physical time when they can have in the field. It might even be just one day, a couple of days. It might be a week, or it might be 3 weeks, depending on the amount of work that you've done with that horse. And often when you pick them up after that period of rest, they're often exactly where you left them if you've done your job properly.
Yes, I think we can't underestimate the mental exertion that goes into this learning thing. You know, this is new, every experience is new, and it takes a lot of processing. And as you say, it's very important that they get that time to just kind of relax and let what they've learned percolate in the back of their head. So as you say, next time you pick them up, they're like, oh, yeah, no, cool, I remember this, off we go, let's give it another shot.
Absolutely. And then you just repeat it and then they get more confidence and trust in you. You know, and as we said, those key words, trust, confidence. And of course, then later on, hopefully that harmony between horse and rider comes in.
And how do you know when it is time to step up the challenge, take them that next step in whatever it is that you're trying to teach them?
I think if they're very confident in what they're doing and they're showing all the signs of a clear understanding of whatever subject you are working on with them, then they're ready to make it a little bit more difficult, a little bit more challenging. You know, everything is progressive in the training, you know, be it transitions, be it, you know, straightness, and then building in maybe a little bit of a turn on the forehand for the young horses, working with, you know, through a gate and things like that, which then moves on to a little bit of leg yielding. And it's, you know, you can just play around and see where they are. But you know, horses love routine. They love to have their sort of boundaries. They love to know where they fit in and how they and their confidence in that area. And I think it's important to sort of build on that confidence, be very aware that they understand the subject, and then make it a little bit more difficult. But always being really observant on the horse's behaviour, how they look mentally, you know, how they're acting, as I said earlier, with, you know, the nostrils, the ears, you know, and the tail clamping. You know, they're all signs of a horse that maybe doesn't quite understand what you're asking of him or her. And at that stage, it's really important to step back, be a good coach, try and understand what bits got wrong or you've missed out, and then just revisit that, repetition, until then they get the idea and the penny drops, and then you're away again. So I think it's just important to be aware of the physical, but also the mental signs that your horse gives you.
And I guess as well, it's also remembering that, as Russell put it in the previous episode, they haven't read the textbook. These horses are all developing at different rates, and some are going to pick things up really quickly and others are going to need a little bit more time and then might excel in other areas. It's all about learning who they are as individuals and treating them as individuals.
It is, absolutely, very much so. And as you say, they all learn at different, as we do as humans, we all learn at different paces. And it's just being emotionally intelligent, I suppose, and aware of that, so that you can help your the training and the development of your horse in the best possible way.
And as a point of sort of curiosity here, you've mentioned the fact that you have, you know, some of the horses like Dubs have been brought in, you know, someone else has done the very basic training with them, and also you've got the ones that you've had as babies that, you know, you've been involved in bringing them into the world, or you've had ones as well where you've ridden one of the parents or competed one of the parents. How does that kind of play into this early education process? Do you notice a difference with any of that?
I think it's fascinating to ride the offspring of horses that you've competed. There's two horses, Annie Clover and Beltane Queen, who both competed at 5-star level. And I rode before my accident as a 3, 4, 5-year-old, rode their sons. And you know, having known the mums so well, it's really interesting to see sort of the characteristics that they've brought on from the mum, but also maybe the different reactions that they have. Beltane Queen, when she got scared or worried or nervous, you know, her bottom lip would go up, 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 and she'd be blowing bubbles around everywhere, and she would also slightly drop her back. Whereas her son, when he sort of goes, oh, I'm not quite so sure, he doesn't drop his back at all. He stays up and he jumps higher. So it's that nice little difference. You don't quite do what your mum does there, which is brilliant. And it's just it's really interesting. But when you've ridden the offspring, you know their whole history. You know that when they were weaned, you know how that took place. You know that they've had no bad experiences or any experiences that they have had, you're aware of, and you can be mindful of that in your development and your training with them. So I think that really is, you know, that's a plus that you know their history of the parents, their weaning and those pre-years as well. And also, you know, young horses, young stock, they need to be in the field, or they need to, you know, to be moving around, the development of those bones and everything. They don't want to be charging around, but they need to be getting stronger. And that's really important as well for a top level competition horse, that, you know, that they've got good formation of their limbs, because you're wanting them to, you know, train all the way through their career and still be at top level when they're older.
Definitely. I mean, it's something that, again, that's cropped up in a couple of the episodes that we've put out already this week about the other 23 hours of the day, that what these horses are doing actually outside of the school or whatever they're doing when they're not being ridden, how important that is actually on the training and the impact it can have if you're giving them a lifestyle that caters to their natural needs, their wants to, you know, go out in the field and have a hoolie and play with their friends or whatever it is. It is a really important factor in all of this.
It really is. It comes to those three F's, feed, freedom and friendship. And, you know, the horses they're herd animals. They like to be with other horses. And here when we had competition horses, you know, they were, because they were, you know, expensive, you know, they'd been competing, they were at a really good level, advanced level. They didn't all go in the field together, but they were all part of sort of penned off so they could see each other. They could still give each other a scratch if they wanted. And I think that that field time is so, so important, not only physically for their body, but also for their minds. So you're allowing them to really be horses and but have that community, that friendship with other horses. And it was always so lovely, you know, to sort of, when I was working the horses in the arena, to look across to the paddocks and most of them would be lying down, and for me that was really lovely that they were that confident and that happy and that relaxed in their environment that they felt they could. And I think that's really important, a part of their success in training and therefore in the competition field.
Very well put there. As we kind of come to a close on this chapter on young horses, have you got any kind of parting thoughts you want to leave with our listeners?
I think be open, you know, be open-minded to what is presented to you in front of you with the horse. Be very aware of their mental and physical needs. Never think that taking a backward step or backing off their training or giving them a lengthy holiday is a bad thing. Absolutely not. It's got to be done on an individual basis. Trust, confidence and harmony is something that you're working and developing all the way through, whether you're doing the groundwork, the initial sort of teaching them woe, and the long reining, turning right, turning left, going forward. Is really important that when you're watching the, you know, horse and rider or horse and person on the ground working, it wants to be a pleasure to watch. It wants to be developing that harmony and that trust and confidence.
Perfect. Very well put there. Well, if you have enjoyed listening to this episode today with Nicola, then make sure you catch every other episode that we're putting out for Equine Health Week. There have been plenty already. You can find them wherever it is that you found this podcast episode, whichever platform you choose, or you can find it on the British Equestrian website, www.britishequestrian.org.uk. We've got an Equine Health Week 2025 hub there with all the resources we're sharing across this week. There's loads of really interesting stuff there. And there is also plenty more coming up. We will have Nicola back in a few days' time to talk about training our adult horses, and you can catch us then. So thank you very much for joining me today, Nicola.
My pleasure.
And we will see you all very soon.